Last weekend, I mentioned Jesus' final words as he was ascending back up into heaven. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Another way to communicate that last sentence would have been to say, "And surely, I am Emmanuel, always to the very end of the age." Of all the beautiful promises that are found in the names of God, I think Emmanuel may be number one on my list. It's such an amazing thing that the sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, omni-everything God would choose to relate to us, with us, and alongside us. Now, he's worthy to be worshiped in every way. He's worthy to be worshiped with us on our face. He's worthy for us to worship him on our knees. He's worthy of extravagant worship and surrender. But our God stoops down to make us great. And even when we're worshiping him in that posture, in that position, which he's worthy of, he raises us up and said, "Let's talk face to face. You're welcome in my presence." He chooses to be God with us, God alongside us. He doesn't manifest himself in the dominion that would be his in an over-under relationship, but he chooses to come alongside us. He chooses Emmanuel. Embracing and understanding Emmanuel, I think, is a revolutionary thing, because it's so easy to fall into a religious paradigm, in a religious manner of relating to God. And when that happens, when we get religious, we tend to put God off at a distance. When we get religious, we tend to think of God as maybe uninterested in the day-to-day minutiae of our lives and uninvolved, because he's got bigger things to deal with. When we get religious, we start thinking about the things that we're supposed to be doing for God. But on the other hand, Emmanuel invites us into a relational paradigm with God. And when we embrace a relational paradigm with God, then we relate to him in up close and personal ways, not at a distance. When we relate to him in that way, we know he cares about everything that's happening in my life. In fact, if I care about it, he cares about it. And when we relate to him in a relational paradigm, we also embrace and realize the truth is everything we do, every activity of our day, every activity of our night, we do it in relationship with him. He's with us. He's with us everywhere we go. "I am with you always," he said. "I am Emmanuel, always." But what about those times when we want to press in and all that, but we just can't feel his presence? What about those times when we can't feel his presence? He's still Emmanuel. What about those times when he seems hidden and hard to find? He's still Emmanuel. At this point in my journey, one of the things I've learned about God is many times he's hidden only because we're trying to find him by looking through a little peephole in the door. I recommend you get rid of the peephole and expand your vision, because he's there. He might not be in that one little spot you're looking in, but he's there. And it's actually better to join him in what he's doing than to stay with what you're doing anyway. Several years ago, there was a movie, Mighty Joe Young. It's about a big gorilla. And the big gorilla was playing hide and seek with the girl, and he was hiding behind a telephone pole. You know how hard it is for a big gorilla to hide behind a telephone pole, right? Listen, if you think God is hidden, let me tell you the truth. He is hiding in plain sight. Just look a little wider. Just look a little wider. And when he feels hidden and seems hidden, he is still Emmanuel. In times when we're profoundly aware of our need for God, as well as in times when we're less aware of our need for God, he's always Emmanuel. He's right in the middle of our lives. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never treats us as orphans. God never says, "Hey, go figure that out for yourself." It's not how he does it. Instead, what God does is he treats us as much loved sons and daughters. And he says, tell you what, why don't we do this together? Because it always works out better for you and for me if we do this together. Let's be in it together. I am Emmanuel always. Now, there's tests and trials that are part of this life. And many of those come to test and challenge our belief in Emmanuel, our awareness of Emmanuel. Deception's very deceiving, and our self-centered absorption is always lurking in the background when life gets hard. And it's so easy to get disappointed or disillusioned or frustrated or even mad at God when he doesn't do what we want him to do and we tell him to do it. But a very real part of life is working through times, sometimes even whole seasons, when we think or feel that God has abandoned us or that he's ignoring us. And in times like that, it is so much healthier to just keep pressing into his presence and let yourself be held by God rather than pulling away and drawing back from him. Not everything that happens down here on earth will make sense this side of heaven. But there never has been and never will be a day here when God is not with us. He's an ever-present help in our times of need. He's faithful even when we're faithless. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's Emmanuel always to the very end of the age. Emmanuel. It's one of the descriptive names prophesied about Jesus hundreds of years before he made his first advent. And it came about in the most unusual way. If you got your Bibles, open up to Isaiah chapter 7. As we pick up the story, Judah, the nation of Judah, is at a tipping point. Two kings, the king of Aram and the king of Israel, had joined together and they were fighting against Jerusalem. Now they had not been able to overpower it yet, but their alliance and their efforts was causing the hearts of the people of Judah, it says in Isaiah, to shake like the trees of the forest do in the storm. So God sent the prophet Isaiah and his son to meet with the king of Judah. Isaiah and his son went to meet with King Ahaz, and he had a word to speak to Ahaz. God told Isaiah to tell Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. To this very day, those words are good, solid, consistent God advice, especially in those times when we're being squeezed and life is squeezing us. When you're being squeezed, if you will listen, there's a still small voice inside that says, be careful, stay calm, don't be afraid. And a lot of times you'll say, I'm Emmanuel. I'm with you. God also told Isaiah to tell Ahaz, don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. And then he had Isaiah describe, look, I know what your enemies are planning. I know they have plotted your ruin. I know they're planning to wipe out Judah and put somebody else in this king. But I'm here today as a prophet of the Lord to tell you this, it will not happen. The sovereign Lord says it will not take place. It will not happen. Now, I think when God calls your enemies two smoldering stubs of firewood, that would be a very encouraging thing. I actually thought when I was working on this passage, is this something that was happening this week? Was this happening in history this week, two smoldering stubs of firewood? But anyway, sorry. I think that'd be a very encouraging thing to hear God say that. And then I think it would be even more encouraging to hear God say, the sovereign Lord says to you, it will not take place, it will not happen. That would strengthen your heart. That would solidify you to the core, you would think. But Ahaz missed it. Because Ahaz at that point wasn't in danger of losing heart. Ahaz's heart was already lost. But God. You see, God doesn't give up on us even when we turn our backs on him. And so after describing how quickly God planned to deal with Ahaz's enemies, God had Isaiah give a cautious challenge to Ahaz. God told Ahaz through Isaiah, if you do not stand in your faith, you will not stand at all. The Amplified says, if you will not believe and trust in and rely on God and the words of God's prophet, surely you will not be established, nor will you remain. Ahaz was at a crossroads moment in his life, and in spite of many poor choices up to that moment, the door was still open for Ahaz to be established and for Ahaz to remain. Of course, God knew the condition of Ahaz's heart, yet with a persistent mercy and desire for redemption, God was reaching out to Ahaz, and he had Isaiah make one more reach for Ahaz's heart. Look at verse 10, Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord said to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. At a time of serious need, what an incredible offer. It was such a strategic time for the nation of Judah and such a strategic time for King Ahaz personally. And God knew the apostate condition of Ahaz's heart. But still, God was willing to spark fresh faith in Ahaz. So willing that he even challenged Ahaz, ask for anything. You name it, any sign you can think of. You ask for it, and I will do it to prove that I am with you and I am for you. And before we see Ahaz's answer, let me give you a little background. 2 Kings 16 tells us that Ahaz became the king of Judah when he was 20, that he reigned for 16 years. But 2 Kings 16 also says, unlike David, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he even sacrificed his son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places and the hilltops under every spreading tree. And so with that information, Ahaz's response to ask whatever you will makes a little more sense. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Isn't it crazy how often and how many times wrong actions and wrong responses get covered up with religious sounding answers? I think that happened this week in our nation too. But disobedience and foolishness are just that, no matter how you dress them up. The truth in that moment of time was that Ahaz had already decided to put his trust in the king of Assyria rather than in God. In 2 Kings 18, it says, Ahaz had already taken silver and gold from the temple of the Lord and from the royal treasuries, and he had gifted it to the king of Assyria, asking the king of Assyria to come and rescue Judah. And the king of Assyria did come and rescued Judah. But afterwards, Ahaz fell even deeper into depravity, even descending to the point of desecrating the temple of the Lord. And what Isaiah had cautioned came to pass. Ahaz did not stand firm in his faith, so he didn't stand at all. And now we know why Ahaz refused God's offer. But God was not finished speaking to Ahaz through Isaiah. Look what he said next, verse 13. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. To a defiant, hard-hearted king, in the first part of an extended prophetic word, out of seemingly nowhere, came a description of Jesus' miraculous birth, as well as the precious, powerful promise of Emmanuel, God with us. I'm sure Ahaz completely missed that. I mean, he had already had his heart hardened. There was other things said in the prophetic word. It meant nothing to him in the moment. But God saw fit to have this word recorded so it would be wondered about for many, many years. A virgin with child? Emmanuel, God with us? What does that mean? God had it recorded so it would be wondered about and remembered. Now flip forward in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And as you're turning those pages, hundreds of years are passing from the time this word was spoken to Ahaz. And as we get to Matthew chapter 1, we find ourselves in a little town of Nazareth with a newly betrothed couple. And unknown to them at the time, they were about to live out the fulfillment of, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign." It's such a familiar passage. We often read it or hear it read, and we give little attention to the wonder of it all and to the revelatory nuggets that are contained in the story. Familiarity can breed kind of a perceptual blindness. But as I read it this morning, I want to just encourage us to open up our hearts and hear it in a fresh way. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she'll give birth to a son. And you're giving the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There really is so much in these few verses in that story, but I just want to focus on the "all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said" part. Because Matthew's words confirm that Jesus was the Emmanuel that God promised. John's gospel, this same Jesus is called the Word. John wrote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, and the glory of the only begotten, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another." In Colossians 1, Paul echoes these same words. Colossians 1, verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you've heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." So within the full scope and the intention of God revealing himself to us as Emmanuel, reconciliation between God and us was accomplished by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. As we remember and celebrate the reality of Emmanuel, we should do so within the context of the price that Jesus paid through death, so that we could be presented holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. The Amplified says, "holy and faultless and irreproachable in his, the Father's, presence." The New Living Translation says, "holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." But Isaiah's challenge to Ahaz still reverberates here in Paul's words. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Listen to how the Message Bible captures this passage. "You yourselves are a case study of what God does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in the bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. And every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of the message. You don't walk away from a gift like that. But we can. It's our choice. But it's also a choice that we make over and over and over and over and over again to stay grounded. And the choice to stay steady. And the choice to stay in a bond of trust. And the choice to stay constantly tuned in. And the choice to not be distracted or diverted off to the right or to the left. All those choices, they have direct benefits for life. When we're making those choices, life is lived at its best. It's the freest, it's the healthiest, it's the most rewarding. We make those choices, staying grounded, steady, in a trust relationship, tuned in, careful, not distracted, not diverted. That makes a difference now. But I want to also tell you that all those choices translate into eternal rewards that'll make a difference as well. We're going to finish our service this weekend by sharing communion together. As I was thinking on this series over a month ago, I felt like the Lord put in my heart on this Sunday to talk about Emmanuel, God with us, and that he wanted us to have a tangible expression and experience with Emmanuel by taking and sharing communion together. So we're going to do it a little different than usual. But before we do that, let me highlight one more aspect of the dynamic included in Emmanuel. Let me share one more expression of God's heart revealed to us in this beautiful promise of him being with us from Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Yeah. Y'all make me laugh. I went through a season of my life where I was listening to scripture tapes. You know, instead of listening to the radio, I was just listening to the scripture all the time. And, you know, you get to one of these passages like that, and it's like, yeah, that's right. Well, of course it's right. It's right out of scripture. I'm just reading you the word. But isn't it good it's alive? And listen, Emmanuel is another expression of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Emmanuel is God's forever promise. Emmanuel is God's desire. However, in this life, there will be a variety of situations, a variety of circumstances. In this life, there will be things that my dad used to call challenging opportunities. And these things will rise up trying to dislodge us from the hope of Emmanuel. But listen, when these things come, we can be confident that God will not allow things to come against us that are beyond what we can bear. God will not let us be pushed past the limit of our endurance, because when these things come against us, we are not dealing with them alone. We are dealing with them with him. He is with us in the middle of them and all the way through them. Whatever it is, he is Emmanuel always. And with his divine help and grace, he desires for us to become more than conquerors on the other side of these challenges to our faith. The New Living Translation says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. In the Greek, the word conqueror means to vanquish, to conquer with superior force, to gain a decisive victory. The pure word says it this way, but definitely in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yeah. Our experiential knowledge of Emmanuel will reveal to us over and over again how much God loves us. Emmanuel means God himself is with us, and he desires to live with and alongside us so that we find victory in all things. Interestingly, the foundation of these victories was declared all the way back in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 8, God spoke a word through Isaiah to the enemies of God's people, and this is what Isaiah was told to say. Tell those enemies of God's people, tell them to devise their strategy, but it'll be thwarted. Tell them, prepare your plans, but it will not stand. Tell them their strategy be thwarted and their plans won't stand because God is with us. Because of the reality of Emmanuel, protection from the strategies and plans of whatever would rise up against us is available to us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, said it this way. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And surely, I am Emmanuel always to the very end of the age. We're going to take communion together this morning to end our service. We're going to do it a little different way. If you're helping with the communion, if you'll come get the elements ready and move to your stations, that would be great. As I was seeing us take communion, there's lots of different ways that we do it. We have the elements at the back sometimes, and sometimes we use little celebration cup things, and we'll do that the first Sunday of the new year. But on this weekend, talking about Emmanuel, I felt like that to enhance the experience of what God wanted to put in our lives leading right up to Christmas, he wanted all of us to make a trip up here to the altar. He wanted us to come to the front. So in a few minutes from wherever you are in the room, we're going to have four stations set up here across the front. And I'm going to go to the piano, and I'm just going to sing over us. And as the Lord would release you, then you can come to the front and receive communion. We have the little cups, the juice in the cups. But then what God put in my heart is for us to use real bread today. And in my mind, when I first saw this, it was like one big loaf, and we were all going to take from one big loaf. And then I started doing the math of how many would be here and how big a piece of bread that would be. And I could not find a bakery, so I had to adapt my plan. And so I've got four loaves of challah bread here, which is a Jewish traditional bread. I also loved it when I picked it up at HEB. It said, sell by 12:25. And so what's going to happen is I'm gonna break the bread, even as Jesus broke the bread on the night that he was betrayed, and he shared it with his disciples. He took this bread, and he lifted it up as he broke it, and he gave thanks and was thanking God and speaking to them. And as it comes to your turn, I just want to encourage you, just grab a piece of this bread and break it off. And as you do it, it's partaking in an expression and an experience of Emmanuel, God with us. On that night when he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he lifted it up and he gave thanks. He said, Father, I'm here for you. I've done all that you told me to do. And now I lay my life down for those I love. And as I'm broken, I release life into them. My life for their life. And not long after that, Jesus was beaten beyond recognition for our sins. He paid a price we could never have paid. But he did it for the joy set before him. Of a day like today, when we would celebrate and experience him as Emmanuel. He also took the cup that night, and he said to them, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So I'm going to go to the piano. I'm just going to begin to play and sing over us. As the Lord releases you, there's four different places. Come and receive, partake of communion. You can partake of it right here at the front. and or you can go back to your seat. If you go back to your seat, make sure to drop your cups off in the trash on your way out. That'll help our custodian. If you're at the front, there's a place up here where you can drop them off. But let's just have a moment where we're just before the Lord. Let's experience Emmanuel. Then we're going to sing a song together, and then George will speak the blessing. Y'all come.
Night of wonder, still and silent, heaven's brilliance from above. Light of glory, pierced the darkness, mercy pierced my heart with love. This is Jesus, King of glory, here to rescue from the fall, Son of God, who comes to save us, Prince of peace and Lord of all. Oh, the mystery, who could fathom God would leave his holy throne for a manger, for a sinner, for us all to be his own. This is Jesus, King of glory, here to rescue from the fall, Son of God, who comes to save us, Prince of peace and Lord of all. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, he is with us. Rejoice, hope is here. Rejoice, For the heart so prone to wander, for these feet so quick to flee, God is here and love is reaching for the lost and least of these. For the heart so prone to wander, for these feet so quick to flee, God is here and love is reaching for the lost and least of these.
You stand and let's sing this last one together.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift with every breath. I'm singing hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place for you who were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'd find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, the frankincense and golden myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive those nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew.